Proverbs chapter 12. We'll get there in a few minutes. Also, those of you who are staying, please turn your cell phones on. Go to Facebook and check in. Let the world know that you're worshiping the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at Shevis Oaks Baptist Church this morning. Amen? Amen? Y'all awake? Come on. This morning, I'm going to tell you what I learned from Hurricane Matthew. I'm like you. I'm tired of hearing those two words. Anybody else? Anybody tired of hearing those? Yeah, thank you. I am too. I'm tired of hearing those two words. And after today, I promise I won't mention it for some time unless God puts it on my heart, and then you're going to hear it anyway. Now, this message is not going to be about how we should have bought more peanut butter and water. Because I'm married to Amy Waddell. In church, we had plenty of peanut butter, ice, and water. We did. What I'm going to speak about is what I heard days before, during, and after this hurricane blew through Savannah for about 24-hour period of time. Y'all with me? Now get this. You have to understand this before I preach anything else, before I say anything else. You need to understand this part of the message. This is a hinge right here, okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about? This is a hinge that needs to swing so you'll understand. That's correct. Just 24-hour period of time, this storm was here. This morning, I'm going to give some pretty long observation. And then I'm going to drive this message home with a spiritual conclusion. So I'm going to give you some observation, Ricky. You with me? If anybody on your road tries to sleep, you nudge them. Okay? You got it? I'm going to give you some observation, my observation. Everybody has their own observation. And then I'm going to drive the point home with a spiritual conclusion. All right? Y'all with me? Everybody awake? Okay, good. Now, these are my observations, Cynthia, from the storm, and I know you don't have any because you left, right? You went to Alabama with the coach, is that right? You didn't? You stayed? You did stay. Okay, well, you have some observations then, too. These are my observations. Here we go. You ready? You ready? All right, here we go. Tuesday afternoon, prior to the storm, Governor Nikki Haley from the great state of South Carolina issued a mandatory evacuation for the coastal region of the state of South Carolina. And at that time, a couple of my pastor friends, this was Tuesday. They went ahead and called Wednesday night services off and went ahead and canceled Sunday night services. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. When they did that, I thought, guys, you know, you're this is a little premature. You know, we don't even know where the storm's going to hit yet. And you're already canceling Wednesday. Y'all a bunch of lazy preachers. We know some of those, don't we? I mean, they're just a bunch of lazy preachers. They're trying to get out of it. And they, you know, but then it was told to me, anytime the governor gives a mandatory evacuation, you're to, you know, try to cancel services because you don't want people to feel obligated to come. They're going to be evacuating. You're going to be by yourself anyway. So Tuesday, Governor Haley, the great state of South Carolina, did I mention that, ordered a mandatory evacuation. Now, when that happened, my wife was given the rest of the week off school. That was nice. It really was. But until Wednesday. Wednesday, that was the day after. Wednesday, I wake up and I'm thinking, what's the normal day? I'm going to go to the office, do some studying, you know, get prepared. If we don't have service, I'll just be prepared, over-prepared. So that's great. So I come in and I get a text from Amy. We need to go shopping. That's never a phrase that you want to hear from your wife. We need to go shop. I said, okay, what kind of shopping? I knew I was just playing with her, and I shouldn't have. She said, we need to go grocery shopping. So we went grocery shopping. Everybody in the city of Savannah was grocery shopping on this Wednesday. Everybody. Every single body was shopping on this day, grocery shopping. The malls were probably, you know, bare, but except for Bass Pro Shop. Bass Pro Shop, you know, they had camping supplies. But everybody was shopping. Now, we had service Wednesday. On Thursday night, as Amy and I sat watching the news, as everybody was doing, the reporters were not certain if the storm was going to hit Savannah as a Category 2 or a Category 3. Now, people were calling our house from all over, everywhere we've ministered in times past, and a lot of people from the church, asking if we were staying or going. And at this point, we had decided to stay. We'd already bought provisions. We'd already spent $12,000 on food and water and provisions, filled the bathtub, filled the washing machine. I mean, we'd already done it. And you know, we're staying. And Amy, again, she does a lot of things that I don't know until after she does them. She had invited every refugee in Savannah to come and stay at our house. I knew something was up when she cleaned the hall bathroom. But, you know, we didn't know whether they were going to come or not. So I didn't really start getting scared until I started watching the news later on that evening and couldn't decide whether it was going to be a Category 2 or Category 3. I think I either called or texted Angie. Did I call you or text you? I can't remember. Called you? And she settled my nerves. She did. She said, "Oh, no, Brother Kyle." You know, I didn't realize you have a minor in meteorology, right? Yeah, okay. She said it's not going to hit Savannah with a Category 3. It's going to downgrade at 1. The wind speed is going to be so-and-so nautical miles. It's going to be off the coast. And I was like, okay, well, Angie knows. Gary, she knows, doesn't she? Gary's a statue. He ain't saying nothing right now. So we decided to stick it out. Now, the wind started picking up, as you know, those of you who stayed and didn't chicken out and leave, started picking up on Friday morning and gradually grew in intensity throughout the day. Our power in Georgetown, I was expecting it to go off early Friday morning because when two cracked clouds rub together in Georgetown, the power goes off. As a matter of fact, yesterday afternoon, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, great, I didn't see any football last Saturday. I'm going to watch some football this afternoon. 11:50 yesterday afternoon. I'm sitting there. I'd taken my shower, sitting there relaxing, walked the dog. I mean, I'm sitting there cooling off. I'm ready to go. I'm ready for football. And I hear, boop. One time it's okay because the reclosure kicks back in. And I heard, boop. And I was like, oh, God, there it goes. Steve, did y'all have power yesterday? Did y'all's power go off? Oh, I said, ours did. Michelle, did y'all's go off? Yeah, yeah. Karen, did y'all's go off for a while? It didn't. Yeah, about an hour, but, you know, it went off. 7:20 on Friday, ours went off. The church's power lasted until 6:15 Saturday morning. Oh, did it? Okay, but listen, the church almost made it through the storm without losing power. Now, I think some of the most polarizing memories from the storm for me were the lines of people in food line. Really. Y'all, people in grocery stores standing in line is kind of like people walking in the elevators. You kind of look at the floor. They'll ask you what floor you're going to. They'll push the button. That's it. Don't say anything else to me. You know, you want to walk in there one day and say, listen, well, I've got a captive audience. Let me tell you about Jesus. But people in elevators do not talk. They don't talk in New York City either, do they, Andy? They just kind of walk. It's good to have Ember back with us this morning. But they just kind of walk, don't look. Yeah, that's how people are in food lines. But not this day. Everybody was talking to each other, asking, you know, different pertinent questions. Some other polarizing things for me were the bare shelves. Seeing bare shelves in the grocery store was kind of scary, isn't it? Especially when you're going to get something and it's not there, and your wife freaks out. No, she. The empty ice machines. Watching people push grocery carts slam full of water to their cars and ice was kind of polarizing to me. I don't know if any of y'all saw this. I saw it. I encourage you. It's pretty amusing. It's horrible, but it's kind of amusing. There were two women filmed, videoed. You can't do anything and get away with it anymore. Videoed in Walmart fighting over the last case of water. It's on video. And If you go to watch it, there's somebody commentating in the background and say, yep, this is real. This is the real deal. They are really fighting over the last case of water. Now, my observations of the storm, after the storm. These were observations of the storm. Let me give you some observations after the storm. Now, most people stayed close to home the day after the storm. When the sun rose on Saturday morning, Amy and I assessed the damage at Ron's house, and then we drove to the church to see what the church looked like. It took us 45 minutes to drive 4 miles after we helped remove a very large oak tree on Chevis Road between our house and the church. And, you know, I thought to myself when I woke up Saturday morning, Steve, you know, you just talked about helping you, but I can't, I'm going to go and help everybody. I saw people in my neighborhood trying to cut trees down this big with an axe. I'm thinking, dude, you are not Paul Bunyan. I give you about 15 swings and you're done. But, I mean, I thought, you know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to help people. I'm going to, you know, see what I can do, walk through the community. And I did do some of that. But when we were coming to the church for the very first time and we were moving that oak tree out of the road, Ricky, I mean, I hadn't been up out of bed for 2 hours, really. And I went to bend one down and grab one of those branches and yank it. And my 46-year-old body says, no, son, you're not going to do that. And my back said, whoosh, whoosh. So my back went out within 2 hours of the storm that morning. Now, we found that day that most radio stations had been knocked out, and one main radio station was running on just about every single channel, taking callers, stating, and they were asking them, who are you, where are you calling from, and then the announcers were responding to those people's questions. I heard questions, church, like this on this radio station. I'm not kidding, I'm not embellishing, I'm not exaggerating, I am telling the honest to God's truth. These questions, people called in and they asked these very questions the days at, and they might be still doing it today, days after the hurricane hit in Savannah. These are some of the questions. Number one, where can I get gas? Now, I'm not sure, but that's probably a question that you need to ask before, okay? Now, those of you who didn't, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, when the next storm comes, go ahead and get gas a couple days before the storm, okay? Fill it up. Now, I'm cheap, and I'm driving that gas-guzzling Jeep of my son's that's now mine, but hey, I usually put $15 a week in it. Wednesday, I filled it up. Why? Because I knew, I'm not real smart, but it might be a couple days, Alec, before, you don't have to have a college education, understand this, might be a couple days before you get gas. So fill it up. But people are asking, where can I get gas? Where can I get gas? Where can I get gas? I'm thinking, come on, people. Come on. Here's another one. Where can I find a grocery store that is open for food and water? I'm thinking. And these people aren't kidding. I mean, Brother Jim, I wanted to call in and ask some, you know, funny questions, but these people weren't trying to be funny. They were dead on serious. Where can I get food and water? And I'm thinking, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday when you saw your neighbors backing in their driveway and you laughed at them because they had bags and bags. I said, that's probably where you need to go get groceries. You ain't going to find a grocery store for 2 or 3 days, if that. And they're not going to have what you want when you go then. I mean, there's still a lot of grocery stores that don't have a lot of stuff yet. Here's another one. Here's another caller. Where is there a pharmacy open to get my meds? Really? Really? You saw this thing coming, and you did not get your meds until after. Now you need your meds. I mean, really? You know, we were all told, listen to me, church, we were all told, myself included, I stayed. How many of y'all stayed? We were all told to leave. All of us. Every single one of us was told T to get out. Kind of like that Amityville Horror story. That man walked up in the room, and that ghost said, "Get out." The man stayed. I would have left then. But if you stayed, you knew you were told to get out. And these people were calling, wanting to know where they could find all this stuff. Now, and here's the ever-looming question. This was the ever-looming question that came time and time and time. This question was repeated more times than I could even count. You ready? When are we going to get power and water back? They told you to get out. Now, I don't know a lot about a lot of things. As a matter of fact, we've had some electrical issues here in the church here of late. And inside the church, I don't know a lot. But from the pole to the meter, I know. And from the lines, I know. I was a lineman for 10 years. Y'all didn't know that. I was a lineman, man. I climbed the poles, right? I mean, I knew. Let me explain something. Listen. If you did not have power for a long period of time, it's because the power company looks at grids. Okay? If you live near a school or businesses, they're going to get that up for it first. Okay? If you live in just a big community and there's nothing but houses, you're going to wait. Well, I don't like that, Brother Kyle. We'll move. That's just what the power company does, right? Listen, number one is transmission lines. The big lines, they're going to get the transmission lines up and running first. Then they're going to get substations up running first. Then they're going to get primary, you know, the open wire primary up running third. Then they're going to worry about secondary. Secondary is what's running to your house, okay? When are we going to get power? Over. And oh, they told you to get out. They told you, listen, they told you it could be a week before they would let you come back in. But you come back and you complain about not having power. I don't get it. Listen, I spoke with a Georgia Power lineman right here in our parking lot who was cussed out in our neighborhood. I hope it wasn't any of our church members. He was cussed out in our neighborhood. People were going crazy on the news and social media over not having power and water. These same people knew the storm was coming towards us a week in advance. They heard our governors tell us to get out. They all heard them tell us that it could be a week before we got it back in if they left. You know, this church, they were going crazy simply because they did not have something they felt they needed or something they felt they deserved. Well, how come? Hey, listen, how come? And I heard this. I'm not going to tell you who I heard this from. They sitting here in the sanctuary. Why is it the people who have generators, they can afford it. They can afford a generator. They've got power, but we ain't got power yet. Listen. We were mad. There were people hot. Tempers were short, Ricky. I know they were at your house, bro. Woo. People were, listen, I went to Arby's, no, to Burger King. There was a long line. And I didn't mind. They didn't have chicken for obvious reasons. What goes bad first in the refrigerator? See, y'all know that. I mean, y'all, yeah. Man walks up to the counter, says, "I want a number two." Well, I looked up. It was chicken. She said, "Sir, we're not serving chicken." Well, why are you open? We have hamburgers. Why? If you don't have the menu, why don't you have? I was like, goodness gracious. Tempers were flaring. Church, those are my observations. Now, I mean, I could go into greater detail, but I think I've got the point across, right? Did y'all observe pretty much the same thing? Did you? From Christian and lost person alike? Yeah. Let's put this in the proper perspective, can we? Let's put this in the proper perspective. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 21. Let's talk to the Christian first. Verse 21 says, "No disaster overcomes the righteous." What do you call yourself? What is it that you call yourself? Are you a Christian? Then you're part of the righteous. Listen to it again. No disaster. None. No disaster overcomes the righteous, but the wicked are full of misery. Now, let me ask you a question, Christian. What did people see more from you during this storm? Did they see the righteousness of God, the love of God flowing from you, and you saying, hey, look, you know, what can we do? You know, what is it that we can do? We're just going to make the best of things. Or did they see misery flowing from your actions, your attitude, and your words? What is it that they saw? What is it they're continuing to see? The misery or the love of God? That's pretty self-explanatory. I don't need to beat that horse anymore. That jockey's riding down the fence, brother. Hey, listen. Listen to it again. Listen just one more time because you won't read it again. The Scripture's even making you mad. No disaster, not even a hurricane. No disaster overcomes the righteous, but the wicked are full of misery. Now, as we're driving this home, I'm in the car, y'all. I'm getting ready to hit the accelerator. Y'all ready? What should this little storm have taught us as Christians? Now, of course, what I just said in Proverbs chapter 12, no misery should overtake us. But what is it that we as Christians, what should we have seen? What should it have reminded us of? What needs to be understood by us? I'm glad you asked, because I'm getting ready to tell you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. John writes, "Then I saw the Lamb open one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, 'Come.' I looked, and there was a white horse. The horseman on it had a bow, a crown was given to him, and he went out as a victor to the conqueror." That's the Antichrist. "When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come.' Then another horse went out, and a fiery red one, and its horseman was empowered to take peace from the earth, so that people would slaughter one another. And a large sword was given to him. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and there was a black horse. A horseman on it had a balance and a scale in his hand. Then I heard something like a voice coming from the living creature saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarii, and three quarts of barley for a denarii. But do not harm the olive or the wine.' When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, 'Come.' And I looked, and there was a pale green horse. The horse on it, the horseman on it was named Death. And Hades was following after him. Authority was given to them over the fourth of the earth was to be killed by the sword, by famine, by plague, and by wild animals of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those slaughtered because God's word and the testimony they had. They cried out with a loud voice, O Lord, holy and true, how long will you judge and avenge our blood from those who live on earth? So a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little while longer until the number of the fellow slaves and their brothers who were going to be killed just as they had been would be completed. Then I saw him open the sixth seal. A violent earthquake occurred. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The entire moon became like blood, with stars from heaven fell from the earth, as a fig tree drops its unripe figs, shaken by high wind. The sky separated like a scroll being rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the nobles, the military commanders, the rich, the powerful, and every slave and free person hid in the caves among rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day, their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Turn with me real quick to chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh scroll, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Then I saw seven angels who stand in the presence of God. Seven trumpets were given to them. Another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. He was given a large amount of incense to offer with prayers for all the saints and on the gold altar in front of the throne. The smoke from the incense of the prayers of the saints went up in the presence of God from the angel's hand. The angel took the incense burner, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it to the earth. There were thunders, rumblings, lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels who had seven trumpets prepared to blow them. Brother Cal, what are you talking about here? You said you were going to put this thing in perspective. Church, what we just read was the very beginning of the righteous judgment of a holy God. The seals were the first of four groups of shattering judgments. Still to come were the trumpet judgments, the thunder judgments, and then worst of all, the bowl judgments. This was just the beginning. This is just the beginning of what's coming. Church, let's put all this into proper perspective real quick. If you were inconvenienced by a little storm we just had, let me just tell you, you're not ready for the storm that is coming. You're not ready. If you were inconvenienced, where's my power? Where's my water? Where's this? Where's that? Why don't have salt. I don't have pepper. I don't have chicken. All this stuff's going. Listen, if you were inconvenienced by this little storm that took 24 hours to blow through the city of Savannah, if you were inconvenienced just a little bit, you're not ready for the storm that's coming. You're not. Christian, every time. Listen, I need to back up. Christian, every time you hear someone complain about what they had to endure through this little hurricane, you need to be real quick to tell this person that they had better get right with God quick, because they will not like what's coming in Revelation chapter 6. That's just the beginning. Many aren't going to make it through Revelation 6, through the seal judgments. They're not going to see the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments, or the thunder judgments. They're going to die during the seal judgments. Hey, lost person, you think Matthew was bad? You have not seen anything yet. You had better accept Jesus as your Savior today. You think it was bad? A few limbs down, power out? winds blowing. Have you ever seen what is coming in Revelation 6? Have you ever in your life experienced an earthquake that moved every continent? It shifted everything? That the people, listen, the people were miserable here, but Cynthia, have you ever experienced anything where people are so miserable they run and hide in caves under mountains and beg the mountains to fall on them because of their suffering? Anybody experienced anything like that? Church, the governors gave us, South Carolina first, then Georgia, a mandatory evacuation notice last Friday. And God gave us one over 2,000 years ago with His Word. Please listen to me and heed my words. You will not make it through the coming storm, so you better make plans to leave now. You're not going to make it. You're not. I've heard people on both sides of the aisle say, listen, boy, if I have to do it again, if they give us a mandatory evacuation, I am out of here. I am not staying. Gone. Like the wind. Like the movie. I'm gone. I'll be the first one out. Last one to come back. I've heard people say that. And I've heard people who left say, you know, I think I'll try and ride it out if it's not too bad next time. God has given us mandatory evacuation orders. Get out. Now, I rode this storm out, church. This little Hurricane Matthew, I rode him out. I'm not riding the next one out, this storm that Jesus is talking about. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Are you? Brother Kyle, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to take place. You can believe that all you want. Jesus is a righteous and a holy God. Everything that He has said, every prophecy about Him that was prophesied has been fulfilled. I'm not waiting for any more prophecy. I'm waiting for a sound. You can't look at the moral decay in not only America but in the world in the past 10 years and see that we're coming to this. We're coming quickly. We're coming quickly to Revelation chapter 6. Listen, we've got a candidate running for office, local or the greatest office, that believes in genital abortion. Genital abortion. That means if you get pregnant, youth, and you know, once you're married, and you're a husband and you want a daughter, and you're pregnant with a male, go ahead, hey, it's all right, kill it. Kill it. Well, you Christians, listen, I've heard this. You Christians, you don't believe in abortion, but why don't you take care of the children afterwards? I don't know a Christian pastor who is not a proponent of adoption. Don't know any of them. As a matter of fact, our government, our same government, why in the world does it cost $200 to abort a child and $20,000 to $30,000 to adopt a child? You want to talk about corruption? Listen to me. I don't believe any of this is coming. Nobody in their life ever thought any of this was coming. We once were a moral nation. Where are we now? Listen to me. You better understand and get yourself ready. 2,000 years ago, we got evacuation orders, and you better be ready for the evacuation. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's going to happen. And if you are not prepared and those you love are not prepared, you have seen nothing. Nothing. You're going to go through this and much more. Well, Brother Kyle, that's just your opinion. Well, I state my opinion on scriptural validity. Where do you state yours from? Church, will you listen? And will you tell others to get out while they still have a chance? God created you from the tops of your heads to the tips of your shoes to be a living testimony of who He is and what He's doing in your life. Are you? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, please forgive us of our sins and where we fail you. God, help us to be prepared. There's a storm coming, God, that we can't ride out. Help us, Lord, to be prepared and to prepare as many others as we possibly can before your return. God, you love us. I know you love us because you've told us. You've tried to warn us. And this storm is coming not because you're a mean, hateful, vengeful God, Lord. It's coming because you're a righteous God. Help us, Lord, to see and understand and to know to love you and to feel your love and to spread that love to others. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? The altar's open to you.